This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This podcast is brought to you by Joy sponsor Pam Ann.
Hello, Melbourne. It's Pam Ann here. I'm so excited. I'm going to be touching down at the Comedy Theatre in August. See you soon. I love you, Melbourne. Mwah.
Set to land in Melbourne this August for two hilarious shows, Friday, August 24 and Saturday, August 25. Get your tickets now at ticketmaster.com.au.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
I'm Rachel Tyler-Jones. Welcome to The Informer's Media Watch segment, looking at the highs and lows of Australian media coverage of issues relevant to the LGBTIQA+ community and the larger fight for equality. First up, Daily Mail Australia reported on the 15th of April on a proposed change to birth certificates in Queensland. The proposed change would allow parents to select options other than boy or girl on their child's birth certificate. Proposed options include intersex or non-binary. This would be a big step for babies born intersex who don't easily fit into the male-female binary. Daily Mail Australia chose to run with the headline,
"The Thought Police have gone way too far this time."
The use of this quote from Queensland's opposition leader as the headline sets the tone for the article, which doesn't leave any room for balanced news coverage. The author of the piece, Emily Pidgeon, opens with the statement,
"Including the gender of a baby boy or girl on a birth certificate could become a thing of the past under a proposed law."
The proposed law is looking to add a third gender category, not remove gender from birth certificates altogether. Pidgeon's claim that including gender on a birth certificate could be, quote unquote, a thing of the past is therefore baseless. Pidgeon then quotes the statistic that intersex people, in her words,
make up less than 2% of the world's population.
Pidgeon doesn't offer any further explanation as to why she included this statistic, but in the context of opposition leader Deb Frecklington's negative opinions on the proposal, the phrasing less than 2% reads as dismissive of the size of the intersex population in Australia. In fact, based on data from the United Nations and the Australian Bureau of Statistics, statistically speaking, there are likely to be over 423,000 intersex people living in Australia right now. Furthermore, in Australia, a baby is born intersex every 2 hours and 49 minutes. This legislation has the potential to avoid misgendering these children and should not be dismissed based on a perception that the fewer the number of Australians affected, the less we should care. Emma Pidgeon of the Daily Mail, your final score is as follows. -5 points for allowing an article with your name on it to go out with a clickbaity, opinion-based headline on what is an ostensibly fact-based news article. And -10 points to the copy editor who wrote it. -10 points for opening with a baseless, blatantly inaccurate claim. And -20 points for poor use of statistics to dismiss the relevance of the intersex community in Australia. Next, to an article about your favourite radio station, Joy 94.9. The piece, written by Brody Carmody, was published on the 18th of April in The Age. The article's headline described Joy 94.9 as
Australia's first gay radio station.
While Joy is Australia's first and only gay radio station, it is equally Australia's lesbian, bi, trans and intersex radio station. Had Carmody performed a quick Google search, he would have seen that it's literally in our mission statement. Twice.
Joy 94.9 is an LGBTI volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse LGBTI communities.
Fairfax, how hard is it to use the acronym? It's an extra two letters. Representation matters, and headlining Joy as a gay radio station is reductive and inaccurate. Brody Carmody of The Age, your final score is as follows. 0 points for using the correct acronym in the body of your article, because that's the baseline that we expect. -20 points to the editor who felt so threatened by the acronym LGBTI that they fell back on calling Joy 94.9 a gay radio station. -10 more points if you used gay instead of LGBTI due to laziness and or because you thought it would get more clicks. That's just poor journalism. And now to sport, where the Daily Mail Australia once more features for all the wrong reasons. The article, published on the 6th of April, has no apparent author. The title of the article specifically claims that New Zealand weightlifter Laurel Hubbard would have a
25% advantage over her competitors at the Commonwealth Games
because she is transgender. The article centres on the expert opinion of New Zealand physiology professor Alison Heather. The body of the article reveals that what Professor Heather actually said was that male athletes can have an up to 25% advantage over female athletes in strength-based sports due to differences in physical development. At no point did Professor Heather claim that a transgender female athlete whose testosterone levels were lower than that of the average woman would have a 25% advantage over other female athletes. The Daily Mail Australia also failed to ask what difference medical interventions like sex reassignment surgery and hormone therapy might make to an athlete's body. Daily Mail, your final score is as follows. Minus 20 points for a misleading and inaccurate headline. And minus 50 points for either not asking or not reporting on questions that might have led to a balanced article. I would also like to give a dishonourable mention to every news organisation who dead-named Laurel Hubbard this month in coverage on the Commonwealth Games. Dead-naming is the practice of using a transgender person's birth name, an act which is generally seen as disrespectful and invalidating of that person's identity. A dishonourable mention to The Australian, The Sydney Morning Herald, Seven News, The Courier Mail, The West Australian, Fox News, SBS, and every other news organisation who dead-named Laurel Hubbard. In most cases, the article didn't even try to make the connection between the use of Laurel's birth name and the newsworthiness of the article, and not once did any of the articles that deadnamed the athlete acknowledge the harm this practice can cause. On a lighter note, I would also like to give a second dishonourable mention to the headline,
Man Says Painkillers Made Him Gay,
which ran across multiple news organisations, because obviously that's silly, but the writers, editors, readers, and even the man's family seem to know it. So I won't take any points, because the man really did say it, so A for accurate, if silly reporting. But it's not all bigotry, bias, and bad writing this month. In the midst of all the articles headlining the non-scientific opinion that Laurel Hubbard and other trans female athletes have a physical advantage, Tracy Holmes at the ABC published an article debunking many of these myths. Tracy, you systematically took on and debunked some of the most prevalent myths about transgender athletes when those around you hadn't bothered to do that work. Your use of expert opinion and scientific data puts those quoting biased opinions from quote-unquote interested parties to shame. Plus 50 points for telling the untold side of the story and for doing it with facts. This is another example of good journalism to which we in the media should all aspire. I'm Rachel Tyler-Jones, and you've been listening to The Informer's monthly Media Watch segment, looking at the highs and lows of Australian media coverage of issues relevant to the LGBTIQA plus community and the larger fight for equality.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.